A rare Thursday episode of the Daily Fantasy Live podcast. Heath, you demanded that we do this podcast.
Chris, as always, I am thinking of the people.
Yeah.
The people demand our
You're a man of the people.
Knowledge.
You're a populist.
I don't know if that's true. That term's definition seems to have changed a little.
You're popular.
Okay, sure.
And we've got a pretty fantastic... You will notice the title of this podcast.
Yeah.
That is not my words. Those are Heath's words. Best Thursday slate ever.
Let's just go over the things that would be required to make a slate the best ever on a certain day. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first thing we must have is a Ryan Rayburn day.
Sure.
And we do have a bad, very bad... left-handed pitcher pitching in Coors.
So
it's Ryan Rayburn.
It's a Ryan Rayburn day.
Okay,
we check off box number one.
The one problem we have with Ryan Rayburn days,
the check sound,
is that when there are games at Coors Field,
ka-ch,
we generally have to choose: do I want to play the best pitchers on the slate, or do I want to stack Coors?
Yeah,
you can very rarely do both.
Very rarely.
Well, today obviously you can.
You can do it today.
There are. Number of pitchers under $10,000.
Is that box number two?
Box number two is checked.
Ka-ch.
Now, the third thing that I have a problem with on Thursdays is that, generally speaking, there's a small selections of games, which there is today. And so it's going to be very difficult to avoid the chalk.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a problem today because there's like five pitchers in that $8,000 to $10,000 range that I'm happy playing.
Not a problem today. Box number three.
Checked.
Ka-ch.
Yes. We are ready for some baseball, as Hank Williams Jr. once said.
Paraphrasing. We've got nine games on the Thursday slate. We've got $10,000 pitchers. We've got $9,000 pitchers. Heck, we even got $8,000, $7,000, and $6,000 pitchers.
Those are all things that we normally have.
Yeah.
But the difference would
be... But we also have them today.
There are two $10,000 pitchers.
Yep.
I would play them both. There is one $9,000 pitcher. I would play him.
Yeah.
There are five $8,000 pitchers. I could make an argument for playing at least two of them.
Okay.
And there's at least one pitcher I'd be happy playing under $8,000.
I would be very happy playing the pitcher under $8,000. You know I like my tournament lineups.
Yes. Did you put together a lineup with a pitcher under $8,000?
I did.
Great.
Did you?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Good. I don't want you stealing my championship-winning lineup.
Agreed.
Let's talk about the $10,000 pitchers. Not exactly the star names you would come to expect from $10,000 pitchers.
Maybe that's an us problem, not a them problem.
I think it might be. Drew Pomeranz, $10,400. Rich Hill, $10,000 even. Both these guys averaging over 38 fantasy points per game.
Yeah, I would say if this was not a Coors slate,
mm-hmm.
Drew Pomeranz would be by far and away my favorite pitcher.
Okay.
The Dodgers are the third worst team in baseball against left-handed pitching.
Yep. Right. Just ahead of the Braves and Phillies.
Yes.
And those are also the only three teams with a team WOBA below 300 against lefties.
Drew Pomeranz has been good against good offenses and bad offenses alike.
Yep.
He's striking out more than 10 batters per nine. He has an ERA under three.
Third lowest OPS allowed in baseball.
Yes. He has made six starts this season against teams that rank in the bottom third of the league in WOBA against lefties.
Okay.
Which seems about right.
Yeah.
In those six starts, he has a whip of 0.86 and an ERA of 1.70.
So he's a front runner.
He
beats up on the nobodies.
Yes, that is factual. And he's a pretty... The only problem...
Only problem.
He's lost three of those games.
Yeah.
And he's an underdog in this game.
He pitches for the Padres.
He does pitch for the Padres. Hyunjin Ryu is making his 2016 debut. We don't really know how that will go.
Yeah, I mean, I think Hyunjin Ryu is a good pitcher.
Yeah, I agree.
But he hasn't pitched in well over a year. It's
been
like 15 months since we last saw him. So who knows what he's going to look like.
But because it's
might
a
have a different
slate,
haircut.
And because of the fact that Pomeranz is, let me check, because it's been close all day, still an underdog.
Yeah.
He is not my top pitcher.
Who is your top pitcher then?
My top pitcher is none other than Trevor Bauer.
Okay.
Now,
this, I have some interesting interesting numbers. Trevor Bauer.
Okay, well, why don't you give those first?
Let me find them.
Okay, I will start and say that...
From our friends at Roto Grinders.
Yes.
60.4% ground ball rate and a 24.2% hard contact rate for Trevor Bauer against right-handed batters.
Uh-huh.
37.9% ground ball rate, 44.1% hard contact rate against lefties.
Okay.
107th out of 108 qualified starters is that hard hit rate against left-handed batters.
So left-handed batters have done well against him.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because
typically you think guys that struggle with the platoon split are guys with limited repertoires.
He is not one of those.
No, he's got all kinds of pitches. He's got like 5 pitches.
The thing I would say, I made the argument earlier in the week for Carlos Rodon,
mm-hmm.
based on the Yankees' struggles away from Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
They made me look dumb.
Yep.
Bauer's a better pitcher than Rodon right now.
Yep.
And I still think the Yankees suck.
Yep.
So I'm not overly worried about those numbers.
Okay.
Their
best hitters are lefties.
Those are facts. Their best hitter is a switch hitter.
But he's better as a lefty.
Has he been this year?
I think so.
I mean, probably so, just
we're talking
of the
about
short
Carlos
porch.
Beltran,
Yes. Because of the short porch in Yankee Stadium, I would guess at the very least his power numbers have been much better. Yeah.
What?
His average has not been anywhere close to as good.
Okay.
And neither have his power numbers.
Okay, so he's been better against righties.
He's been better against lefties.
Better against lefties. Okay, that
he's
is
got
surprising.
A 322, 374, 633 slash line against lefties this year.
Okay.
286, 318, 529 against righties.
That is surprising. I am surprised.
I am surprised as well. He's still good against righties. And then my third favorite pitcher is Danny Duffy.
Okay.
Danny Duffy
has pitched.
Been an ace.
Yeah, it's really weird. He's pitched through the eighth inning in each of his last two starts.
Yep.
Came one out short of a complete game against Philadelphia. Has struck out 8 batters in 3 straight starts.
Right.
It's unbelievable, really.
I don't love Duffy's matchup in terms of the Mariners hitters.
Yeah.
But James Paxton's the opposing pitcher. I do like that matchup.
Okay.
He's the fourth biggest favorite on the slate. I don't know for sure that he's one of the WOBA model picks. That the Mariners are,
mm-hmm.
or I mean the Royals, but I do know when Sportsline tweeted out the WOBA picks, they used a picture of the Royals.
Okay.
So I think they are probably one of the WOBA picks.
Okay.
Duffy took over as a starting pitcher on May 15th. It's been almost 2 months.
He couldn't get in deep into games early on.
3.14 ERA, 0.99 whip, and 66 Ks in 57 innings since becoming a starter.
Those are good.
Those are really good numbers. So... Bauer, Pomeranz, and Duffy are my 3 favorites.
I'm looking that up right now. Yeah, the WOBA model does like the Royals at minus 132.
I'm very happy about that.
There you go.
I think Rich Hill is a good option. He's just a tournament-only option.
Okay, why is he only just because of Houston?
Because of Houston.
Okay, they have... For what it's worth, throwing it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Second lowest batting average in baseball against lefties.
Right.
They strike out a ton against pitchers of both-handedness.
Yeah. They're also hot.
Yes.
And all of their best hitters are right-handed.
Yes.
And Hill did okay in his first matchup against them.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, he only struck out 4.
Yep.
But he only gave up 2 runs over 6 innings. I feel like... At some point, Rich Hill's probably going to turn into a pumpkin.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe.
But, and it might not be this game, but I wouldn't feel comfortable playing Rich Hill in cash.
Okay, what about Jason Hamill? He's coming off literally one of the worst starts in Major League history. Was tagged for 10 runs, including 5 strikeouts, or 5 home runs.
Right.
Against the Mets on July 1st.
He scored 30 FanDuel points exactly,
mm-hmm.
and no more, in his last 5 starts, and only once in his last 5 starts.
Yep.
He was great early in the year. He's not been very good at all lately.
Mm-hmm.
One of those 5 starts was against the Braves, when he went 5 2/3, gave up 3 runs and struck out 4.
Okay.
I think it's a good matchup in terms of win potential, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a good matchup in terms of innings and runs. It's a bad matchup in terms of strikeouts.
Okay.
Now, Hamill's not a great strikeout pitcher as it is.
Okay.
I don't know that there's a ton of upside there.
Okay.
Like, the best start I see is something like what Marcus Stroman did last night with a win, which is still pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. 48 fantasy points.
Okay.
Obviously, the guy that we like under 8,000, I think, is probably Lucas Giolito.
Lucas Giolito is the guy that we like under 8,000. He has made exactly one major league start. It wasn't great.
It was a rainout.
Yeah, but even then, like, he wasn't. He had 2 walks and a strikeout. It wasn't in 4 innings. It wasn't super dominant, but he was hard to hit.
Yeah. Yes, he was hard to hit. Other than he let them hit the ball a lot. That's the thing. I had this debate a little bit on Twitter last night.
Okay.
Marcus Stroman threw 5 perfect innings to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
With 3 strikeouts.
Yep.
Did he have no-hit stuff for the first 5 innings? Like, is the definition of no-hit stuff getting a lot of balls hit to people?
Well, we know you don't like anyone who doesn't get strikeouts. Walter Johnson stunk. Greg Maddux, awful pitcher.
I never said that.
Just following the Heath model. You know, Mike's got the Woba model, you've got the K model.
What I would say is it takes me much longer to believe in a pitcher that doesn't get strikeouts.
Okay.
I think it's unlikely that pitchers that strike out less than 7 batters per 9 innings succeed long term as better than like number 3 or 4 starters.
Okay. I agree. I'm just giving you crap.
I know. I mean, it's factual.
We also think Lucas Giolito will be a strikeout pitcher.
I would fully expect him to. I think this is a great matchup against the Mets. There's a small weather concern. There's a Bartolo concern.
As in, like, Bartolo will take him deep?
Bartolo will take him deep, or Bartolo will throw one of those stupid starts where he strikes out 3 guys and throws 8 scoreless innings.
Hard to hit.
Well, I don't know about using that term, but, yeah, I like Giolito as a tournament option. The only problem with it, I guess, is like normally you're using Lucas Giolito when everybody else is using $10,000 and $11,000 pitchers, right? Mm-hmm. If everybody else is using $8,000 and $9,000 pitchers, you pretty much need him to be better than all of them. It's not enough just to get $1,000 better of one hitter.
Yeah, I mean, it's also weird because you do have... With your Rocky stack, you would typically want Charlie Blackmon and Carlos Gonzalez, but they're going against a lefty. That's not necessarily a deal breaker. They're still very good at home no matter what. But the fact that they're going against a lefty means that the Rocky stack that you might typically prefer could be a little cheaper as well.
It's definitely cheaper.
So,
like, Nolan Arenado is probably the only Rocky you're playing over $4,000.
Yeah.
And the Phillies, I guess we just want to transition right into Coors. The Phillies are very reasonably priced tonight on FanDuel.
Okay.
Some might even say underpriced.
Might you?
I might.
Odubel Herrera, 4,200.
That's their most expensive hitter, I believe.
Tommy Joseph, 3,800. Michael Franco, 3,800.
Franco's too cheap.
He's homered in 4 straight games.
And he's got a good matchup in a great park.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, like, I would assume Nolan Arenado at $600 more than Michael Franco will be much more highly owned.
Probably.
But Franco's got to be the second highest owned third baseman. Freddie Galvis at $3,100. Whichever catcher plays for mm-hmm. Philadelphia. I think Cody Ashe at $3,400 is pretty interesting.
Okay. What about Peter Borges?
I don't know how to feel about Peter
Borges.
He's
been good lately.
Yeah.
He's been real good lately.
I really don't know how to feel about Peter Borges.
Okay.
He's been good lately, works better with me for hitters that I think might actually be good.
It's a statement of fact.
Yes, he has been good lately.
He has been good lately. I'm not judging the content of his toolbox.
His toolbox is fairly close to empty.
Yeah.
It's got the speed tool.
So you're not using $3,500 Peter Borges tonight?
I don't imagine Peter Borges is going to be in any of my lineups.
Okay. Who's your one player from Coors? Ryan Rayburn?
Ryan Rayburn.
Okay, Ryan Rayburn's your one player from Coors. Mine is Trevor Story.
Yes, he's $100
cheaper.
Trevor Story's
$3,200. That's crazy.
And he's been pretty bad while battling this injury.
Yeah. He's hitless in his last five games.
And that spans like a week and a half, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I like Story a lot. He's in my lineup.
Okay.
But there's definitely some risk there.
Okay. What's your favorite non-core stack?
I will go with the Rangers.
Yes.
Against Tyler Duffy.
That is the exact one I was thinking.
He's been a major disappointment. The Rangers are a little bit Cubs-ish with their lineup right now. If Jurickson Profar is leading off at 2,800, then I'm probably going to play him.
Okay.
Nomar Mazara at 2,700 against Duffy is an excellent value.
Yep.
Rougned Odor, of course. I'm not buying into Prince Fielder, so don't expect me to play him.
Homered in his most recent game.
He did. Also not good.
Just throwing it out there. He's been good lately.
He has had a couple of good games. After that, I really like the Indians against Nova.
Okay.
Jason Kipnis and Lonnie Chisenhall are both very cheap. Carlos Santana is not a bad first base play. Francisco Lindor is always on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Indians and Rangers would be my two favorite for sure.
Interesting with Tyler Duffy, and this is very surprising to me.
He's been better against righties?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's got massive reverse splits. And he's a right-handed pitcher.
Right.
And right-handed batters are posting an 846 OPS against him in their careers. 699 for lefties with a significantly better strikeout-to-walk ratio against lefties as well.
Wow.
It's very surprising. Did not expect that.
I'm still going to play lefty Rangers.
Me too.
Okay. And then the Cubs.
Yeah.
Against somebody I don't even know who he is.
The Cubs are going against Lucas Harrell.
Yeah.
That's his name.
How many players would you guess have the Braves played this year on their team that before the season, we'll start with two things. One, before the season, you'd not heard of.
Okay. I would say probably double digits.
Yeah. And we know most players.
Yes.
Like I feel like the Braves number might be as high as the rest of baseball combined.
Yeah, maybe.
Lucas Harrell, he's made one start this year.
Sounds right.
And I don't even know how it went. It probably doesn't matter.
Weird thing that's going on for me.
Okay.
The Twins have been, if you go by the implied run total, they've been pretty well thought of by Vegas over the last few days. And it's kind of surprising. I know the Rangers, you know, it's in Rangers ballpark. Rangers pitchers are bad. They've got Chichi Gonzalez going on the mound.
He's awful.
He's not good. It's still weird to see the Twins in the top five in the implied run total.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, though. I think they should have a big game.
They scored 8 last night, right?
I believe that's right. Lucas Harrell did make one start against the Marlins.
Okay.
He won the start.
Well, that makes sense.
6 innings, 4 base runners allowed, 1 earned run, 5 strikeouts.
That makes sense. The Braves own the Marlins.
That's true.
Like, they just, the Jeffrey Loria no longer owns the Marlins. The Atlanta Braves do. Upgrade in ownership, in my opinion.
His last start before that was on my birthday.
Happy birthday.
In 2014.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
2014.
Yes.
So you would definitely stack the Cubs.
I'm definitely going to stack the Cubs, yes.
What's their lineup going to look like tonight, though? They've had to juggle things lately.
That's the kind of fun thing. It's a mystery box.
Okay.
We will just play, like, we're going to play Rizzo. You're going to play Bryant.
Yeah.
You're going to play Zobrist. And then let's see who else just happens to be in there.
Maybe Tommy La Stella.
I like Tommy La Stella a lot.
Maybe Chris Coughlin.
That's possible.
They've got all kinds of options.
I don't think Chris Coughlin, I think he's on the DL.
Maybe.
So I think he's not one of their options tonight.
Do we have options for BVP?
We do.
Because you did not give me a BVP lineup yesterday. And I'm still smarting from that.
before I get to the lineup.
Oh.
Somebody tweeted this at me this morning, and these guys, a lot of these guys didn't make the lineup, but I just want to point out this is true.
Okay.
The Braves are the BVP stack.
Tonight. Oh. Delightful.
AJ Przinski's 3-for-10 off Jason Hamill with a dong. Nick Markakis is 9-for-22 with a dong. Adonis Garcia is 4-for-6 with a dong. Freddie Freeman is 5-for-11 with two dongs.
Woo!
And Jeff Francoeur is 4-for-9 off of Jason Hamill.
Okay.
So you were wondering why I didn't want to play Jason Hamill.
We've got all kinds of Braves in our lineups then.
Yes. But unfortunately, only one of those players made the actual BVP lineup.
Oh, man. That means the BVP lineup must be amazing.
We do have a BVP pitcher.
Yes.
Yankees batters have seen Trevor Bauer 89 times.
Okay.
They have a 667 OPS against him.
That's why you didn't believe the Trevor Bauer stats.
And I just remembered that I hadn't made the call for Dong Chasers yet.
Send out that tweet, man.
I know you're going to spend at least 5 minutes talking about my new memoir, 20 Days Without a Dong. So we'll get plenty of that.
Yeah.
In the BVP lineup, one more thing that I know you love.
Okay.
Trevor Bauer is the pitcher.
Yes.
Our catcher, Brian McCann.
I love it.
Yeah, I knew you would like that.
Best BVP lineup ever.
Brian McCann, 4-for-11 with a dong off of Trevor Bauer. Now, I gave you those BVP numbers. Imagine how bad the rest of the Yankees are against Bauer.
Must be awful.
If McCann's been good against him.
Yeah.
At first base, we are going with Justin Smoke. Got a little bit of a Blue Jays stack instead of the Braves stack.
There we go.
And that's mostly because I had a Braves stack to start, and we had $3,000 left over. Justin Smoke is 5-for-15 with three dongs against Justin Verlander.
Okay.
This is kind of a surprising one. Danny Duffy, even when he wasn't the great pitcher that he is right now, has always been exceptionally tough on lefties.
Okay.
Robinson Cano, 4-for-11 with a dong off of Duffy.
Hmm.
So we got Robbie Cano at second. We are going with Adonis Garcia at third base. Troy Tulowitzki.
There we go.
Shortstop for the Blue Jays is 3-for-6 with a double against Justin Verlander. Rajai Davis is in the outfield for us, 5-for-12 with a 1083 OPS against Ivan Nova.
Boom.
Coco Crisp also in the outfield against Doug Fister, 7-for-20 with a 900 OPS. And then Jason Wirth, 6-for-13 with a 1226 OPS against Bartolo. So that's Bauer, McCann, Smoke, Cano, Garcia, Tulo, Rajai Davis, Coco Crisp, and Jason Wirth.
Okay. Like you mentioned.
Yeah.
20 days without a dong.
Hashtag 20 days without a dong.
That is 9 days longer than the previous longest streak.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to set the record.
Oh, yeah, don't mess around. You know, go 98 Mark McGwire on this one. You know, you break it by nine, which is what you've done. Nine and counting.
Yes.
Andrew McCutchen did not work out for you yesterday. You did get a hashtag dongs from last night from Michael Saunders, which is nice.
Can I read something to you?
Go ahead.
I think this will be a nice, like, this is put down Heath for not getting dongs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just got this email. About a different podcast that I do.
Okay.
And I know how much you enjoy Heath emails.
Yeah.
So I'd just like to read it on the air.
Let's hear it.
Hello, gentlemen. Sounds like a nice guy.
So nice.
I really enjoy your work and the knowledge you all put out each and every week.
What a lovely fellow. I can't imagine this taking a bad turn.
But when Heath is featured on the podcast, you better believe that is an episode I will skip.
Ooh.
He projects a condescending, know-it-all personality.
Okay.
And I cannot stand listening to your podcast when he is on.
What's this guy's name?
I'm not going to. He blocked his name.
Oh, man.
He sent this from an account that says Noel Noel.
Definitely wasn't sent from a CBS Interactive email.
There's no way that came from Chris Towers.
Definitely not.
Okay, so back to the
Rollins. I'm just waiting for you to read a lie sent by this reader.
Yes.
This listener.
I knew you would enjoy that. Did Mike send his dong in?
We have no, but he's not first.
You donged last night.
I donged last night.
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout got me back on the board, ended a little seven-game slide.
Yes.
So I am on the board, and, you know, since you get second pick, I could be a jerk and take your guy.
Right. Why do I get second pick? Just because Mike's not here?
Just because Mike's not here.
Okay.
You snooze, you lose. Don't be in Indianapolis, Mike. Come on. I'm going to give you your pick. I'm going with Trevor Story.
You're going with Trevor Story. I will take Ryan Rayburn.
I figured you would.
So,
and we'll have Mike's pick on Twitter. He doesn't get to participate today.
And we got a response.
Let's hear it.
Sorry, O'Randy, but we just read yours yesterday.
Yep.
We're not giving you. We're going with Austin Schmidt, I believe, new tweeter to the podcast.
Here we go. Thanks, Austin.
Adrian Beltre, he knows about Tyler Duffy's reverse splits.
There you go. Way to go, Austin. Didn't even listen to the podcast yet, but I'm sure he will.
Yes.
You got a lineup?
I've got two.
Let's hear them.
Okay.
Let's hear it first. We got one.
You want to go with FanDuel first?
Yeah.
Okay. This will be good because we haven't talked about one of the most important things about today's slate.
Okay.
Trevor Bauer, Nick Hundley, Miguel Cabrera. Okay. Is $3,300 at the Rogers Center against Drew Hutchison.
Why?
I have no idea.
Somebody hit a wrong button.
Just take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Miggy for $3,300 at first base. Must play.
Change my lineup.
Jason Kipnis at second base, $2,900. Nolan Arenado at third. Trevor Story at short. Ryan Rayburn in the outfield. Nomar Mazara and Josh Reddick.
It's kind of boring. We have very similar lineups.
Yeah.
I'm leaving $400 on the table because I just switched my first baseman to Miguel Cabrera.
Okay.
I'm going with Lucas Giolito, Nick Hundley, Miguel Cabrera, Rougned Odor, Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story, Ryan Rayburn, Nomar Mazara, and Bryce Harper.
So the difference that you, for playing Giolito,
mm-hmm.
you get Harper and Odor instead of Kipnis and Reddick.
Yeah. I feel okay about that.
That I think you would feel better about that if you had looked at the PVP numbers.
Oh, wow.
So now it's time to play fade or do.
Okay.
So, Bryce Harper, 3-for-16 with 5 strikeouts against Bartolo Colon. Fade or do?
I am just shivering. I am so terrified. I'm petrified of Bartolo Colon against Bryce Harper.
Michael Saunders, 3-for-20 with 6 strikeouts against Verlander.
Okay, that's kind of like a mix of when Verlander was good and when Verlander's still good, when he was great.
Okay. Wilson Ramos, 2-for-16 against Bartolo.
He's a new man. He had LASIK.
Okay. Well, that was fader play.
Thanks.
DraftKings lineup?
Let's hear it.
I've got Trevor Bauer and Jason Hamill.
Yeah.
Salvador Perez, Miggy Cabrera, Jurickson Profar, Michael Franco, Freddie Galvis, Ryan Rayburn, Nomar Mazara, and Odubel Herrera.
Okay. Like it. A lot of cores.
A lot of cores.
You had to play Jason Hamill, though.
He's quite a bit cheaper
okay.
on DraftKings.
Okay.
I think it makes a little bit more sense over there. $7,400.
Okay.
Whereas Pomerantz bumps up to $11,700.
Yeah.
And Rich Hill's $11,400.
Okay, so that makes sense. I get it.
Yeah,
we're gonna win tonight, Heath.
Oh, I think so.
I think your dongless streak will extend to 3 weeks.
I did get a tweet last night.
Yeah.
Before I'd even looked at this slate, from our good friend TJ.
Yeah.
And I believe the tweet said, "Breaking news: Heath's dongless streak will end tomorrow." Ryan Rayburn faces a bad lefty at Coors.
Yeah, I don't think Ryan Rayburn's really worked out all that well for you this year.
From what I recall, he's not donged for me.
Yeah.
But he has worked out very well playing him.
Okay.
So I'll be okay if he goes 3-for-4 with a pair of doubles and drives in 5 runs.
Yeah, but you can't trade those doubles in for a homer.
That's fact.
That's not how it works.
That is true.
All right. That's it. That's it for Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. How great is Thursday, huh? Shout out to Thursday. It's the Friday of the week. Think about it. We'll see you tomorrow.